you know, I prayed. Today is the beginning of Easter season here at Crossroad Church. Some people started in the first week of March in the form of Ash Wednesday. But for us, it's a season. But it is an opportunity to think about God, Christ, Jesus' death on the cross, His resurrection. And this whole month, till Easter Day, we will be thinking about Easter and studying Easter. And today's question I have is this: what is gospel? We use the word gospel quite often. And sometimes people use it without realizing what it is. So the question is, what is gospel? The word gospel comes from a Greek word, evangelion, meaning good news. So gospel is nothing but good news. When you turn around everywhere, you know, you turn the TV on, you see bad news. You just get the emails, a lot of bad news. You go out, bad news. But gospel is all about good news. So it comes from the Greek word evangelion, meaning good news. The word is used 73 times in the New Testament. So we will just look at this good news a little bit today. So you have to ask, what is the origin of good news? Someone has to bring the good news. What is the origin of good news? God is the origin of our good news. The good news starts with God. You know, there are a few verses we will just show. 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16. In both the places you see, God is love. That is good news. God is love. And the second one is God is love. That's a statement. There it highlights God is love. That's a good news. You know, you think about love in several places and get cheated, deceived. Love in a human relationship, love in the materials, and love everywhere. And people say, take the telephone and they say, honey, I love you. But they don't really mean it. But Bible says God is love, but love is not God. You know, God is the subject and love is the predicate. And who is the object of God's love? Man is the object of God's love. That is what we see in several places. John 3:1 says, man is the object of God's love. You can actually turn that to the Bible verse. We can put it here. John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. There are two other verses in Galatians. Says, you are all sons of God. You are no longer a slave, but a son. It's a good news. God loves us, not as Subhash, not as a slave, not as someone inferior, but God loves me as His son. It is an amazing good news. That is what I see here. See this God, this picture. I'm going to just demonstrate the gospel today. This side is kind of light, bright, and that indicates God. Bible says God is light. In Him there is no darkness. This God that we talk about is the creator of heaven and earth. This God has no beginning and no end. And He was, He is, and He will be. And in Him there is no fault. He is superior, sovereign. He is the biggest of, you know, everything that we think of. And, you know, you should ask the question, God is love and man is the object of God's love. What is the problem with man? So we have to go to the Bible and see what are some of the problems with man. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 that we are dead in our transgressions and sins. And also says in 1 Peter 1:15, God is holy and anyone who wants to relate to Him must be holy. The problem with man is found in Romans 3:23. It says, all have fallen short of God's glory. So let me just go back to this picture here. God is love here, and man is the object of God's love. But this cube so much here, it shows here there is a gap, there is a chasm between this loving God and the object of God's love, man. But man is depicted in darkness here. He was created to love God, to relate to God, and receive God's love so much. But because of the darkness that surrounds him, he's not able to go to God. God is light, and darkness cannot go to God. And the Bible says, sin has separated man from God, from, you know, man from God. And man cannot do anything to reach God. That is what the whole world is doing. They have a lot of religions. You know, they try to reach God by giving their hair, by giving their money, by walking to a long distance, going on a pilgrimage, and worshipping before some objects. But he is not able to reach God by his own efforts. That is why Bible says man has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Whatever he does, he will not be able to reach God because he is in sin. And the word people use is he is completely depraved. With his own effort, with his own ability, he will never be able to reach God. So because he is in sin, he also needs to have something. Romans 6:23 says, wages of sin is death. So because he is in sin, and he needs to get some kind of wages or reward for his sin, that is death. You know, it is not just physical death. A complete, alienation from God, a place called hell. That is the wages of his sin. How did the good news happen? That is what we have to ask. You know, God is love. Man is separated from God because of sin. What is the good news? Or how did the good news take place? We read in John 3:16, God so loved the world. It is not the material world John is talking about. God so loved the world, the man, you and me, that he sent his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to this world. He sent Jesus Christ to this world for you and me, a loving God who wants to have a relationship with us. You know, because we are not able to have that relationship on our own, he sends his own Son. So, gospel message originates from God. It doesn't originate from man. Sometimes people think, oh, it originates from man. No, it originates from God. God took the initiative. He sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to this world. Mark 10:45 says, this is what I read in Mark 10:45, that Jesus Christ came to this world to die as a ransom for many. So, what Jesus did was, he came to this world, born of Mary, a virgin, and he grew up, and at the appointed time, he gave his life as a ransom. What is the meaning of ransom? As a substitution. That means, in the place of me paying the penalty, in the place of me going and dying on the cross, Jesus went. It is called a substitutionary death. In the place of you and me dying, Jesus died on the cross. So this is a good news. Good news is this: God loves you, and you are the object of God's love. But you are not able to go to God and love him as you should, because the sin has destined you for destruction and hell. But God sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross as a substitution for your death and my sins. And he died here. And we read in 2 Corinthians 2:21, Jesus Christ is made as a sin, as a reconciliation. That means the gap we saw between the light and the man, between God and man, there has to have a reconciliation. Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, he became a reconciliation. Bible verse says God reconciled his relationship with man by means of Jesus' death. It's amazing. And we see that Jesus died on the cross and his body was buried. You know, I went to this place, the place where potentially they put the body and buried. And it is an empty tomb right now, but Jesus' body was buried in a tomb. And they sealed with a Roman seal. And the Roman soldiers were, guarding this tomb. But on the third day, he rose again. Jesus rose again on the third day. That means the death could not hold him back. And this is what we have to see. What happened because of Jesus' death was, you know, previously, we could not go to God. We were alienated. And we are still here. But we have a bridge. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, a new way is opened. That is what we read in John 14 verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus answered in John 14 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means, you know, we saw man trying several things. Religions, philosophies, wealth, and a lot of superstition never takes him to God except our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, in Dallas, it's true. In Bangalore, it is true. In Sydney, Australia, it is true. And Fiji Islands, it's true. Anywhere, everywhere, if someone wants to reach God and have that wonderful relationship with him, he has to believe in Jesus Christ. So that is called a salvation plan. What is a salvation plan? We'll just turn to 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 to 5. This is what Paul says. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. That is the salvation plan. And also we see that in the Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved. In other words, your relationship with God will take place. That gap that existed, the chasm that existed between you and God is filled by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are able to go to God and God comes to you. There is a relationship between Father and the Son, Father and daughter. That is the salvation plan. Some of you may think, man, I was born in a Christian home. My parents have been believers forever, ever since I saw. And just because I grew up in a Christian home, then you may say, I'm a believer. I'm the object of God's love. It doesn't take place just like that. It has to, you know, there is a salvation plan. You have to believe, just as we read in 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 10:9, that Jesus Christ came to this world according to the scripture. He died on the cross as a substitution according to the scripture for you and me, and he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. And if you believe and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. It is the salvation plan. There is nothing else. It's so simple. Man's belief and his confession makes him a new guy, new person. You know, God continues to make you a new person, and he gives you a relationship, and that is what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. What is it? I may be a bad guy. I may be a liar. I may be a swindler. I may be, I would have killed someone. I'm just thinking. You know, or anything that you can think of. You know, you cannot even forgive yourself. You may think that, man, I am from such a horrible, bad background. Can this happen to me? It can happen to anyone, whether you are son of a pastor or, you know, you are right in the thick of all bad things in this world. But Bible says, if you believe what God did to you through our Lord Jesus Christ, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you are a new creature. That is what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That is, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed and new has taken place. This picture depicts so well. I was unworthy, dead to this world. I was filled with all unrighteousness. I did not speak well. I did not think well. I did not do well. I did everything bad. I had bad relationships. I deceived. And I cannot forgive myself. And all those things. I am unlovable. But God comes and holds my hand, not because of my actions, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And that passage is made possible for us, that God holds our hand. In a normal sense, it doesn't happen. That is gospel. The gospel is this: God loves you even today. As we start our Easter today, you have to ask the question, what is the result of good news? Or what is the gospel? The gospel is this: that God wants to have a relationship with you. You may be here just visiting for the first time. Or you may be here second time, third time. You may think that you are not sure if you are saved. Today is the day you can ask the question, what is the result of the good news? God is still offering you the relationship. He's saying, Subhash, I want to relate to you. I want to love you. You know, one thing about our God is not looking for an opportunity to punish me. My God is not looking for an opportunity to condemn me. The world condemns. They say, you're not a good guy. The world says, you don't look good. The world says, you are not likable. You live in a small house. You live in a bad neighborhood. The world says, you are from a low caste. You are from a particular race. I cannot associate with you. But God says, I want you. I want you, even though your sins are red like crimson. I want you. I will make your sins as white as snow. That is the good news for all of us. God wants you today. He wants to love you today. Is there anyone here that you have been coming to church, or you never went to church, but you don't have a relationship with God? Whether you are a Christian, have a Christian name, but are you here not having a relationship with God? This is the time. I would like to proceeding further with the message. I'd like to like us to close our eyes, all of us. And please don't look around. Is there anyone here? You have never made a relationship with God, but you want to make use of this evening, this opportunity. I will not call you to public. I will visit with you at the end of the service. You tell me, do you want to have that relationship with God here? And you can put your hand up. You can let me know, then at the end I will come and talk to you. Is there anyone who wants to say, Lord, I want your love, and I don't have a relationship with you, but I want to have a relationship with you? Please don't wait. Maybe for another 1 minute. Is there anyone here who wants to make a relationship with God today? You want to be saved today. Is there anyone? Please put your hand up. Hallelujah. Sometime you will not get this kind of opportunity. You don't want to go from here as you came in. You know, God loves and He wants to love you and He wants to have a relationship with you. We'll turn the light up and you can look at me. We'll proceed with the sermon. If you say that you have made a commitment with the Lord, one thing you should know is, you know, you have a relationship with God. You should always know that your actions don't nullify what God has done to you. But you, if you believe and one day you made a commitment, this is what you need to do. Those of you who have already prayed the prayer and who have already made a relationship with God. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to save people, Jew first and Gentiles, all others, no matter what. If you believe in this gospel, the belief is tested, proved when you go out and share it with others. You know, you cannot be a Christian without sharing the gospel with others. And I asked several people, do you share gospel? Do you want to share gospel? Everyone says, I want to share about Jesus Christ with others. But they don't know what the gospel is. They are not sure. You know, if you have learned to sing, if you have learned to speak, if you have learned to tell your national, sing your national anthem, if you have learned to tell your pledge, you should also learn to share the gospel. There are two things. One, this is very simple. You can just use this one to explain the gospel to others. This is called Evangelcube. But Gerald has made possible with the form of paper here. It's called story. Here, the salvation plan is very clearly mentioned in few paragraphs. When you go from here, if you believe in the gospel, at least take one or two from that table. And you cannot just go and leave it in yourself, then it is useless. But you make sure you read this, understand this, and when you sit with your friends, you can talk to them. Just ask permission, 5 minutes, and say, could I talk to you about gospel? But 11 years ago, on Easter Sunday, I was in Garland. I was invited to have dinner with a family. And the house was full of people. A lot of them were just getting ready to celebrate Easter with drinking and eating good biryani. And that was my first year in Dallas, and I did not know much about America. And I saw these people and I asked them, you know, could we have a prayer for food? And they said, that's a wonderful idea, good idea. We can do that. Then I asked some of the people, a lot of them spoke Hindi. So, you know, I just asked them, do you know the meaning of Easter? Most of them said, no, we don't know the meaning of Easter. I asked them, would you mind if I share it with you? It was 11 years ago, and I was unprepared, nothing, you know, I was not even thinking that I was going to share about Jesus Christ. And then people said, oh, it's a good idea. Some of them were having, you know, wine in their hand and alcohol in their hand, and they said, good idea, share it. 2 minutes, I shared about God's love to people. I said, God loves you. You are the object of God's love, but you are not able to enjoy it because of your sin. Actually, you are condemned to go to hell. The wages of sin is death. But God took initiative and He sent Jesus Christ to this world, and He died on the cross for you and me as a substitution. In the place of you dying, in the place of me dying, He died, and he became a reconciliation between me and God through Jesus Christ. Even today, you can go to God and have a wonderful relationship with him, because Jesus is the way to Father. He is the truth to the Father. And no one can go to the Father except through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, had prayer, and after that, so many things happened. I don't want to brag about those things today. It was about 11 years ago on Easter Day. There is nothing more powerful than the gospel message. That is why Paul says, I am not ashamed. You know, Paul was a philosopher. He studied in one of the most popular schools called Hillel School in Jerusalem. And he was a Roman citizen. In those days, having a Roman citizenship was not easy. He was a Roman citizen, born to in a family of wealth, because the family sent him to Jerusalem to study. And he knew Hebrew, he knew Greek, he knew Latin, and he knew all the philosophies. Finally, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is this gospel? For the world, for Greeks, it's foolishness. For the Jews, it is a stumbling block. But for you and me, it is a power of God. When you preach the gospel, there is power that is released. It is not a big sermon. It is an ordinary sermon. That is why a lot of people who are unprofessional in their Christian work, they have led several people to Christ than people like me preaching from the pulpit. You know why? We have the power. You don't need to be a philosopher. You don't need to be a speaker to share. But you need to believe. Psalm 40 says, Lord, if I were to give you offerings and sacrifices, I would have given you. But Lord, you don't desire all those things. But you have given me a pierced ear. That means he's saying, you have given me an obedient spirit. If you believe that gospel is the power of God, that belief has to be shown by sharing your faith with others. The world desperately needs Jesus Christ. But we have the answer. God wants to work through you and me. So when you go from here, you can take it with you. And you can actually use it. But you know, you have to use it. If you don't use it, please don't take it. Another thing. If you want to know more about this one, more copies are there, if they are over, you can go to our website and you can check this one. It is there in our website, crossroaddfw.org. May God bless us.